of Chris out of a bowl of Joe.
This is the Quality News Network. It is the single worst mass killing in U.S. history. 33 people dead, 29 wounded, 5 critically. A lone gunman armed with 2 handguns tore through the campus of Virginia Tech yesterday morning. As police approached, the gunman killed himself. Police say they've identified the killer. He was a U.S. citizen, a South Korean national, who lived in a campus dormitory. Student witnesses said the 23-year-old shooter first killed his former girlfriend and his dorm advisor before moving on 2 hours later to an engineering building where most of the killing took place. The East Coast is bailing itself out of one of the worst nor'easters on record. Flooding and high winds wreaked havoc from Maine to South Carolina. 12 people died. Power lines were down. Schools, airports, and highways were closed. Damages are estimated in the millions. In Rome today, the trial has begun of a U.S. soldier accused of killing an Italian intelligence agent in Iraq 2 years ago. The agent was escorting a freed hostage to the airport when the U.S. soldier opened fire on the Italian vehicle at a military checkpoint. The American has pleaded not guilty in absentia. A Moroccan-born New York City bookstore owner has been sentenced to 13 years in prison for helping to fund overseas terrorist groups. The FBI sting also netted a Manhattan jazz musician, a Florida doctor, and a Washington, D.C. taxi driver. In Virginia, a federal judge refused to close portions of an upcoming espionage trial against 2 pro-Israel lobbyists. The 2 men are accused of passing on secret national defense information to Israeli diplomats and journalists. In Baghdad, 3 U.S. soldiers were killed in combat yesterday, and in the Anbar province, 2 Marines died in action. A fierce battle is underway in northern Afghanistan between about 100 Taliban fighters and Afghan and U.S. forces. The clash began early this morning when insurgents attacked a police station in Kapisa province. In southern Afghanistan today, 4 Nepalese humanitarian aid workers and their driver were killed when their U.N. vehicle hit a roadside bomb. In western Afghanistan, ammunition buried in the grounds of a village school exploded today. At least 4 children were killed, 5 were injured. The school building was originally a military barracks. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Attention business owners. Getting new customers is now just 1 click away. Sounds too good to be true, right? Well, you got us. It's actually 2 clicks away with the new MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com is more than an online yellow pages. It's an interactive gateway that connects customers with your business, all in just 2 clicks. Why continue to pay thousands of dollars on an antique advertising medium, especially one that ends up going into the recycling bin? Make the smart upgrade at only a fraction of the cost. Try for yourself. MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com will put your business in the radar of thousands of potential customers. They'll be able to make reservations online, even print out the map with directions, all in just 2 clicks. Call 1-800-505-1883 today to find out more about this great new service. The sooner you do, the faster your cash register will start to ring. The number again is 1-800-505-1883. MyLocalYP.com.
NASA says it intends to launch 4 space shuttle flights this year, beginning in June, designed to continue construction of the International Space Station. 2 other flights are scheduled for next year. 1 mission is aimed at repairing the Hubble telescope. The UK, like the US, reports a severe decline in its bumblebee population. Scientists blame pesticides and an increase in agribusiness, which has meant a decrease in the bees' food sources. Bees are crucial to pollinate crops. Citigroup announced its quarterly profit slid 11% primarily due to restructuring costs. The numbers from America's largest financial institution beat Wall Street expectations. Shares jumped on the New York Stock Exchange. Wachovia posted a 33% increase in quarterly earnings. The nation's 4th largest bank credited the acquisition of Golden West Financial and a higher lending income. The U.S. is warning Americans not to fly on any Indonesian airline. Recent crashes and an audit by the Indonesian Civil Aviation Agency indicate airline companies there are not in excellent condition. Light sweet crude is trading at $66.20 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 12 points, the Nasdaq down 2, the S&P 500 up 1. You can find more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
right.
11,
and most
11,
of the
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right, everyone. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here for a Tuesday afternoon on the Head On Radio Network. And Joe was on fire, man. And he was on fire with one of my favorite subjects, how screwed the record labels are. It was kind of like, if I wasn't going on straight after you, mate, I'd ring in and we could have a powwow on this one, because, boy, do I know how screwed up the record industry is, and do I know what profiteering, screwing around, lying bastards they are. And for all their complaints that they're not selling records, it actually has very little to do with downloading, because we had cassette tape duplication and all that other stuff with every format we've ever had. But it's because they've been releasing crap for the past 25 years. And I actually pulled that statement straight from a documentary. It was the tour manager for, Joe was talking about rap kind of being in a dead-end situation musically at the moment, and I have to agree, except for a few shining examples. Michael Ferranti, that, you know, can you really classify that as rap? There's so much in there. Who was that band that had that really, really well-produced, stylized videos, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I can't remember. Started with a K. And their tour manager made that statement on this documentary that I saw a couple years ago. He says, they say it's downloading is the problem, hurting profits, and hurting sales. It's not. It's because they're releasing crap. I almost slipped there. because that's basically what it has been, aside from a few shining examples. And I have one of those shining examples as the track of the day today, and I'm looking forward to playing you a track from a Perth band called Little Birdie. And I believe they've been over in the States recently. In fact, they did this most recent album. They recorded it in Hollywood. But I'll get into that a little bit later. But I have to get into the lead story for today. Now, Gene, our news ninja, sent this to me maybe yesterday. I'm not sure exactly. But this definitely has to rank up there with really, really, really stupid ideas. And what does John mean by a stupid idea? Well, this is what I mean by a stupid idea. Russia is building its first floating nuclear plant. That's right. Let's have a nuclear plant out in the ocean. And not just build one, but I think the plan is to build five. Now, like, this is one of those stories that you just got to say, huh? What kind of drugs are you on, and you should really stop doing them? From Moscow, this is from Yahoo News. This still just blows me away. Russia began construction of its first floating nuclear power plant Sunday and plans to build at least six more despite long-standing environmental concerns that they are vulnerable to accidents at sea, Russian news agencies reported. Russia justifies the program as a way of bringing power to some of the country's most remote areas, also saying some of the plants could be sold to other nations. Sorry, this just it's so insane. Yeah, exactly right, Gene. Gene in the chat room is just saying floating Chernobyls, and no kidding. But you're gonna love this. It gets better. It gets absolutely better. Quote, the plant is much safer than atomic energy stations on the ground, unquote. The RIA Novosti news agency quoted the head of Russia's atomic energy agency, Sergei Kirenko, saying at a formal ceremony, blah, 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 blah. Here's the bit that really, really got me. He cited the 2000 sinking of the nuclear submarine Kursk as evidence of the reliability of the plants, which will use reactors similar to those on the submarines. After the boat was raised, specialists proved that the reactor could be put into service that very moment, he said. The Atomic Energy Agency and SEVMASH on Sunday signed a document on the intent to build six more floating power plants. You know, just because you got lucky once doesn't mean that this is something that you should, like, try and build on. What? I mean, it just... This is nuts. This is nuts. Talk about a terrorist target. Let's just stick this thing out in the middle of your major waterways. And let's not talk about... Let's not forget, you know, increasing severity of storms, sea rises, you know, the whole kit and caboodle. This is just dumb, stupid, moronic, no matter how you look at it. It's absolutely nuts. I just keep trying to get my head around the concept of, okay, you know, there's risks involved. You know, what if there's a meltdown? What if there's a this? What if there's a that? What if there's a leak? And you want to put the thing right over a sea. Okay? Let's just talk about... don't even have to talk about it. Just logic. You know, how much money changed hands and from whom to whom? There's my question. It's just absolutely insane. I just can't get over. Seriously, you know, I mean, I know Russia's kind of hurting. Their democracy sure seems to be in a bit of trouble. But, I mean, this is just outright insanity to do this. And they want to do six of them. You know, it's just nuts. whoops, sorry about that. That's just crazy. Sorry, I bumped my own connections over here. But anyway, we're going to head out to our first break while I get... Oh my, geez, Benny just tells me, breaking news, Russia will use plutonium from abandoned nuclear weapons to power floating plants. Are you kidding? That's nuts. Okay. I'm going to choke on that while we go to a break, folks. You know, if you want to get on the program, you can dial in on your dime at 304-658-5453 or on our dime, 877-443-2366. And we're going to come back and do something else, and then we're going to get into this track of the day. Some actually what I think is good new rock and roll. Straight from Perth. So we'll see you after this break.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others, reach out, and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Bears live in the Arctic, on the ice.
But the ice is melting because of global warming.
Some polar bears have to swim so far they drown. Baby bears have died.
When I'm old, when I'm 45, all the bears could be gone.
Grown-ups should do something.
If you're a grown-up, go to polarbearsos.org now. You can make sure polar bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act.
Please help them.
The Itsy Bitsy Spider climbed in the giant book. She read about bears, monkeys, tigers, and rooks. She had so much fun, she forgot the water spout and crawled to her library to see what else she could check out. If you like animals on the wild side, crawl on over to your local public library and check out Creature Feature, the summer reading program for teens.
This is the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Oh, that is such a righteous noise. Ah. Well picked, Bob. We got tag teaming producers today. The dastardly duo, Agnes and Bob, producing the program today. Now before I get to the next story bit, first I have to clarify that yes, my chain was being royally yanked there in the chat room. The Russians are not using plutonium from former dead weapons. But you know, the original story, which is true, of the floating nuke plant, is so insane that sounded believable. Like a fish hanging from the pole, I bit the hook. You may know this, you may not. A few people do because they've been there. I've seen that they've been there. We're experimenting with the concept of video podcasting horn shows. And I did one the other day, like last week. And, you know, that was a thing. First time doing it. And last night I did another one, and we're doing tonight's show as well, or today's show, or this morning's show, wherever you are. It's kind of late night here. It's early morning for most of you. And if you want to check out, if you missed yesterday's show, you can check it out in video format. And you'll see that there's a post on the blog today at headonradionetwork.com. And if you've never been to the chat room, you got to go to headonradionetwork.com. Scroll down, and on the sidebar, you'll see a little box that says Horden Chat Room, and it'll have a little list of all the people that are in there right now. You click on that, you dive on in the pool. There's a little quick registration if you've never been there before, but I'll tell you what, it is a lively place. We've got a pretty good crew for this early in the morning, and we get Joe Vecchio starting us off every morning. But check out the video podcast concept. This is all still kind of a work in progress, but, you know, although we travel on the razor's edge, we are also on the forefront of new technologies here, and Bob and I have been talking about this for a little while, and I do believe that Mr. Kincaid is going to begin the experiment sometime soon as well. So maybe the next step is Horn TV. And another programming note, we may actually have this starting this week. Mr. Billy Shears is going to submit a weekly piece to this very show. And if you've never checked out Billy's blog, go to shearsmusic.livejournal.com, and it's musical poetry. And I believe Joe Vecchio is the guest columnist this week. We've been producing up a little bit of tag audio and whatnot for Mr. Shears, and he's fixing to give us his first piece, I do believe, this week. If not, it'll be next week. But we'll see where we go with that, and it should be good fun. And I won't tell you what it's about, but I think he's going to start with a 4-part series. Okay, not all 4 parts in the 1 week, but like, you know, one new one every week. But you know, it should be great fun. And any kind of other musical addition, anything musical that can be brought into the show, I think it'll be a bonus. Might as well move on to the track of the day since we're halfway through this segment. Now, Little Birdie, this is an interesting band. Might even be almost 3 years ago. I got a phone call asking me to go and do an album launch down in Sydney. And it's a venue that I've done a few things at. It's usually kind of a disco venue. But Sony and BMG like to do album launches there. And so they throw out a few band names, and the headliner is The Living End, which is a great Australian band, kind of like a rockabilly punk thing. And I was like, right on, I'll go and do that, you know, a bit of stand-up double bass and you know, just a great three-piece band. But on the bill was this band called Little Birdie that I did not know, you know, from a hole in my head. And in walks this, I'm talking pint-sized lead singer. This, I don't have their names up in front of me, but this young woman comes up and starts talking to me about how she's got two microphones. One is her regular vocal, and the other one is one that runs through a distortion pedal. And so, you know, we were going to have to do a little work during sound check on this. And come to find out, her husband is the guitar player in the band, who plays some really, really, really nice F-hole semi-hollow Gibsons and Gretches, and has them running through like a Fender Twin kind of thing, and it's just a glorious noise. And, you know, he kind of does the sweater vest and collared shirt thing, but then, you know, in the middle of the first song, the guy's basically holding this like $3,500 Gretsch by the Bigsby tremolo and just shaking it around, right? And I was blown away. They did three quick songs. They just come from shooting the video clip for their first single, which was called You're Beautiful, which is a really, really neat song. But they've got a new album that's come out this year, and it's called Hollywood, and it was so named because they, well, went and recorded it in Hollywood. And so, you know, these kids from Perth go off and they do this really, really good, you know, just solid rock and roll record. And the singer's voice reminds me distinctly of someone, but I have not yet been able to make the connection of who she reminds me of, right? And maybe you all might have a thought on this, but I just reckon this is a really, really just kick-ass little rock and roll song, and there's so little good new rock and roll that comes out, and we seem to be getting a bunch of it from Perth these days. Eskimo Joe's another one, which I'll have to expose you all to. They're a fantastic three-piece. But from their current record, and you can find them at littlebirdie.net, there's video clips and the whole lot over there. Really, really good website. Whoever did the design, great job. But from their album Hollywood, check this out. Come on, come on, Little Birdie. Roll it, Bob.
Thank you. I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. There's a sense right now that we're seeing the unraveling of the Bush administration, with a rogues gallery finally getting its due. We've got Scooter Libby already, a convicted felon. We've got Alberto Gonzalez heading out the door, at least it looks that way. And we've got Wolfowitz being shown the door at the World Bank, and Karl Rove up to his earlobes in scandal once again. As rich as all this is, and I, for one, am enjoying every drop of it, we shouldn't conclude that Bush is bust, because the guy's still got enormous power. Even with an approval rating that's below the freezing mark, he still is escalating his obscene war in Iraq. He still is threatening war with Iran. He's still pushing economic policies that are rewarding the wealthiest. He's still devastating the environment by ignoring global warming. And he's still stacking the judiciary with right-wing appointees. Finally, the edifice of repression that he's built, one pillar at a time, still stands. Yes, the Democrats can embarrass him with hearings, but until they pass laws that end the war in Iraq and prevent a war in Iran and reverse the policies that are so injurious to our democracy, they're not getting the job done. Sure, we can all enjoy the falls from grace, but even as we chortle, Bush and Cheney continue to destroy this country. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
This is Bill O'Brien with a message that pretty much defines Concord University. It's from Emily Dickinson. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any coursers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without oppressive toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Respect for learning, a mission to deliver education that touches souls, consideration to what students can afford, career rewards that pay dividends far beyond the dollars earned. At Concord, we've never crossed that important line between the business of education and education as a business. The first is extremely serious. It changes lives and connects with the moral and the spiritual. We're good at that. The second is no less serious. It raises ethical concerns, however. We avoid that. Concord University, the frugal chariot that bears human souls. Call the Concord Admissions Office, 1-888-384-5249.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And that was that guy, John Kuntz, is that how you say it, Bob, that you had on your program the other day? And I was really digging that. And I played some of it for Scott Barry from Mr. B1 Louder. And we were going through the list of influences that he might have, aside from the obvious Dylan one, and that's not a bad thing. And he rattled off a couple that were pretty interesting, and of course at the moment I can't remember what they were because they were fairly obscure, and he's good at doing that. What some really, really nice stuff, well written. Yeah, there's a bit of Bruce in there. In kind of the band sound, just kind of here I go having a conversation with my producer, talk on one side, chat on the other. And you can get to him at www.jonkonce.com, johnkuntz.com, and some really, really groovy stuff. And that's real music, and that's, you know, the one of the reasons why I was really happy to finally pick up that Little Birdie album. You know, it has some 80s influence and all this other kind of stuff, but they all play. They all play. And they all play very well. And, you know, for me, style or genre is of little importance, but it's being played, you know? And the simplest three-chord tune played with heart and soul can just tear apart
something that's overproduced, test marketed, and, well, resampled and regurgitated. Okay, let's get on to some environmental news. Now, this is just a really bizarre one. This is one of those ones where bureaucracy has not caught up with the times. From our good friends, ecogeek.org, there's a story here about very peeved Prius owners in Georgia. this just killed me. Hank Green writes, my wife's maid of honor is a Georgia Prius owner. You wouldn't think she'd have problems with Georgia's emission standards, but 100% of hybrids are failing the test. I started reading this before, I'm going, pardon me? And then it becomes a little more clear. It says, when they hook the Prius or any hybrid up to the emissions tester and idle the car, the testing machine awaits emissions to test, and nothing happens. There are no emissions because the hybrids don't idle. They just turn themselves off. So the machine prints out an aborted test certificate. this woman had to pay $25 and then go downtown to her failed to have her failed test waived so she can be allowed to buy a license plate. Talk about ridiculous and backwards. I hope to see an army of of Toyota lobbyists in Georgia tomorrow morning. Intelligent environmental legislation doesn't work if it's wrapped in this much red tape. Welcome to an eco-geek's nightmare. Oh, can you just imagine, you know, the first few times that this happens, you know, stick the sniffer in, up the tailpipe and... This is failed test. Oh, I could see there being quite a committee meeting over that little event. I think that's a riot. Not a riot for the owners, and I would hope that Georgia will, you know, pick up their act. Actually, since. since I first looked at this post, someone put a comment, says, just search Google for Prius inspection mode to find out how to put the Prius into an emissions inspection mode. Ah, so there is a way around this. And then someone who's probably from the UK says, Yanks are stupid. Oh, and in so many instances, you're right, my friend. Oh, that's just nuts. Now, where am I going now? Well, okay. Another really, really great website, inhabitat.com, inhabitat.com. Really, really great environmental site. And there's a really great piece by Bob Ellenberg about prefab construction homes. And, you know, this has been a fairly big thing in the last few years, you know, prefabricated homes, you know, comes in a kit, you build it like a model, you know, pour foundation, put together a Lego home. And one of the things that they've been touting themselves as being green. And it says, and this is actually written by one of the Inhabitat readers. Oh, pardon me. One of the studio cats has to go out, and I won't be able to concentrate unless I let her out. Yes, Chico. Everyone say hi to the studio cat. You going to go out? Go on. Don't hassle me. I'm trying to do a radio show here. Oh, now we're going to just stand in the door. Go, you mongrel. There we go. Okay. Back to business. Here we go. The piece is called Green or Greenwashing. It says, I don't want to pick on prefab construction, as I do quite a bit of it myself as a design builder, and there are certainly many aspects of it that can be green. But some of the claims I see being made relative to overall sustainability of prefab houses are overstated and might even be considered greenwashing. Let's start with what is perhaps a debatable point, the fact that factories have a high overhead cost of operation compared to on-site building, and in all probability a higher carbon footprint along with it compared to on-site construction. Now, it's getting into some fairly heavy stuff. Mineral waste. This is one of the claims I have the most problems with. One prominent prefab website states, materials are ordered in such a way that there are only trace amounts of waste instead of the tons of debris produced building on site. And other websites make similar claims. Standardized materials are ordered by on-site builders and prefab factories alike. In fact, an on-site builder will usually order the different lengths of lumber he needs for one particular job that produce the least amount of waste. A factory sometimes orders large quantities and pulls from their own inventory, but they both buy the same size lumber that comes from the same mills. Extra materials in the factory can be stored and used on the next house as opposed to winding up in a landfill is another claim. If the above statement is true, what are factories storing their leftover materials? On some on-site jobs, the subcontractors don't scrap out material as well as they should because they don't get paid anymore for being frugal with the materials. By the same token, some factories have the same attitude because it costs them more in labor to have employees sort and use the scrap pieces than it costs them to cut up what is there at the workstation, and they save labor cost. On-site can be as green in scrapping out materials as factory, and a factory can be just as wasteful. The real question is how green the approach is of the people running the show. And he gets into other aspects like over-engineering, carbon cost of shipping. Now, that would be the first thing that I would go to. He says, shipping modular homes definitely adds to the carbon footprint as well. Truckloads of materials go to local suppliers, travel short distances to site-built homes, and stay there. Truckloads of materials go to factories, are built into houses, and then travel hundreds of miles on oversized trucks with small trucks called escort vehicles, running in front and behind while traveling through towns with police and local cars idling while traffic is stopped for them to go by. Then the crane, which gets about 2 to 3 miles per gallon, travels to the job site to set the house and unless you are in a major city, they could end up coming a long way. And, you know, there's a lot of this stuff, you know, as the environmental cause is finally making it into the mainstream in what seems to be a real way. We're ending up now with those that will try and make a profit on anything as long as they can make it sound like or feel like something that's popular at the moment. You have a lot of greenwashing. Reading this book called The Chemical Maze, or checking it out, it's a listing of all the food and cosmetic additives and all this, and the author goes into a really great explanation of how companies abuse the word organic. And this is, again, if they have one organic ingredient, they'll cleverly word it as, you know, as being organic. And this is kind of where Walmart went so badly wrong. They were taking stuff that was just technically natural and calling it organic and refusing to pull it off the shelves. But, you know, this is interesting, this prefab housing debate. I think, you know, it would have to be, you'd have to balance out a lot of different factors. Where the supplier is, their general greenness, as he says. But this is a really, really great piece. There's links to everything that I've been talking about, and it's a fairly lengthy piece. But there's a great comment thread that's started happening with it as well. This guy is a builder, so I mean I reckon he knows what he's talking about. It seems like he does both. He does on sites and he also does prefab constructions. So it's gotta watch out. You know, there's sometimes, you know, not much truth in advertising. So, you know, have to keep on top of it. And speaking of keeping on top of it, we're right on top of our last break, I do believe, there, Producer Bob. So we're going to head out to our final break and come back and talk about a couple of other bits and pieces before we get out of here for the day. So stick around. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Lock up your daughters because the boogeyman's in town. They call me the boogeyman. Nobody can do it like I can. They call me the boogeyman. I'm a king-size boogeyman. Now the sheriff has got my number. He locked me up last fall.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
All right, Bob. Oh, pulling out a bit of the old Zeph, I tell you. It's a place I don't go often enough. And I think, you know, Jurassic Rock Radio in the 90s, when I still lived in the States, just abused Stairway to Heaven so badly that, you know, I've got virtually all of it. I might even have all of it. But I just don't go there enough. Wow, that was cool. That was very, very cool, Bob. But, you know, Jimmy Page. the sloppiest genius in history. I mean, he leaves hope for the rest of us. I mean, I don't know if you've ever checked out some of the live footage, but my, oh my, could he pull some real, real when he wanted to. Hey, and that, yeah, and see, Bob's boy's starting to play with a guitar over there in West Virginia, and so this is what it is. Bob's working on the exposure, you know, to where it all comes from. And good on you, man. Good on you. And that's actually not a very hard riff to play, actually, mate. That one's not too bad. That's about two fingers, and you're rocking. yes, and he's played his first bar chord. He's on his way. How cool is that? All right. Boy, I've just been kind of babbling like a twit today, but that's got to do that once in a while. Over at groovygreen.com, this is one of those announcements that, you know, we'll see what you think. There was an announcement today regarding biodiesel and how ConocoPhillips and Tyson Foods are going to use chicken fat to make biodiesel fuel. Well, they're saying the fuel isn't biodiesel, but it sure sounds like biodiesel, so it sounds like they might want to try and come up with some sort of trademark. While Tyson is a big-time commercial animal feeding operations operator, which is bad, very bad, but probably not going to go away for a while, which generates a lot of pollution, this announcement bears some discussion because it appears to be the first time one of the big oil companies is heavily involved with biodiesel production. ConocoPhillips is already involved with biodiesel on a small scale from fresh stock of soybean oil, but this partnership will almost double production of biodiesel, and all from waste product of the slaughtering of chickens. This seems like a good solution all around, other than the horrible conditions of a CAFO operation for the poor chickens. And, yeah, you know, we're dealing with waste that's already been created, and that's a good thing, you know, and we don't even have to talk about the pollution that these kind of farming operations create. But one of the commenters states here that the only reason that they're doing this now is the IRS has ruled that ConocoPhillips will be able to get the subsidies that got the independent biodiesel producers going in the first place. So, you know, the big guys are now going to get subsidies to do this when they've been profiteering and ripping us all off for decades, especially the last few years in some of the most just blatantly false circumstances. I mean, geez, they come up with any kind of excuse to, you know, to raise the price of petrol. And I mean, the last one that I heard here was because of they were blaming it on Iran and the English sailors, that was the need for the pre-Easter spike, which we get every year. And I hear it's past $3 a gallon in the States. I have no idea what it's doing here because I don't own a car. And I'm so happy I don't own a car. Just because approaching $4 a gallon in San Francisco, holy bejesus, that's nuts. I mean, I know that if you work it out, we're here in Australia, we'd be looking at something like $6, $7 a gallon if you compare it out. I know it's still way more. You know, I mean, even when it was down to $1.40 a liter. But you know, it's getting a little different because right, sorry, my producer's throwing me. An old Alice Cooper song, "Only Liberals Bleed." I believe that was Women, Bob, and a great song actually. That was an excellent song. And I don't actually think... no, it's all right. Please continue, Bob. You're entertaining me, at least. I have no idea what the listeners are getting out of it, but I'm having a good time. That's where I was going. Boy, the U.S. dollar's taking a hammering, isn't it? I'm now looking at like 84 U.S. cents to the Australian dollar, and I remember around Christmas time it was 74. I think it's hitting its highest point since 1992. The New Zealand dollar. Anyone living in New York noticed a whole bunch of extra Kiwis in New York? Well, there's a reason for that. The New Zealand dollar has never had so much power in proportion to the U.S. dollar than it's having right now. And this is good old Republican economics and the selling off of the American economy coming back to roost. And this is probably going to come on for a while because it sounds like the European currency exchange market or whatever has gone very cold on the U.S. dollar, and they have very little interest in it, which is not good for the American economy. And it's going to mean that petrol float is going to become less and less. And remember, it's that petrol float that we get every day that keeps the American economy running. If we didn't have the petrol float every single day as the world trades its oil in U.S. dollars, the U.S. economy would stop dead. And with that, we're going to wrap it up. And I'd like to thank Bob and Agnes Kincaid for producing the program today. I know they got a lot going on over there. They have roofs blowing off and all kinds of other things. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org is still running the fundraiser. Go over there. We got to get that thermometer to go up and bust the top of that thing. Blast the virtual mercury through the top of it. Thanks to our bloggers and our moderators in the chat room. Thanks to Scott Berry at B1 Louder. And thank you for being with me again today. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about...
We have to start today. We're launching Victory 2008, MoveOn says, in a drive to win the White House. And basically, looking at this here, I'll give you the results of what they said. Here are the results of the virtual...
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This breaking news story just in, Al-Qaeda number 3 confesses to stealing the lost White House emails in the DOJ case. Senate votes to lift stem cell ban. House committee asks oil firm CEOs to explain why gas might soon cost $4 per gallon. Retirement rumors loom over senator with attorneys-linked ethics problem. Massachusetts offers details on health coverage. Senate subcommittee to consider legislative response to FBI's national security letter abuses. Senate panel seeks missing White House records. Al-Qaeda number 3. Christian conservatives' power diminished ahead of 2008 vote. Obama challenges McCain on Iraq stroll. Nuclear power enters global warming debate. Democrats seek to lead the way in tax overhaul. The ethical dilemma of robotics. Three scenarios for 2008. Did Bush plan the Iraq regime change before becoming president? Waiting is the hardest part for troops in limbo in Iraq. Most Americans see recession in the next 12 months. U.S. launches fresh accusations at Iran.